This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
And good evening, August 4th. This is Sophia Ray, your host for the week on The People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can call by listening by phone at 716-748-0144, and that's strictly to listen to the show. If you have a computer or a smartphone, go to bbsradio.com, navigate to Station 2, and click on the Listen icon. You may also download the BBS Radio application from your App Store on your mobile phone and use Station 2 for The People Speak. You can also participate during the show with calling in questions for our guests, toll-free in USA and Canada at 1-888-429-5471. Again, that is 1-888-429-5471. Tonight we have a special guest, and his name is Harry Menon. He is a philosopher, yogi master, and a very good friend of mine, and I'm very pleased to introduce him to our audience tonight. I'm very excited to have him here to answer questions and talk about his book, his life, to the point where he has become at right now in this moment in his life. Harry, welcome on The People Speak.
Thank you, Sophie, and good evening. Good evening to all my good listeners.
Good evening. I'm so happy to have you here with me. Thank you for actually coming out publicly and speaking with me live on radio. I hope you're having a good morning.
Yeah. It's raining, slightly raining, south of India, no?
Is it monsoon weather over there right
now?
Yeah, precisely.
Okay.
I hope we don't need subtitles for our listeners today. But Harry, can you give us, our audience, just a brief brief background, who you are, where you come from, what you studied?
See, I was born in Kuwait, and I did my higher studies in India after my parents retired from Kuwait. And I, you know, dabbled in a little of yoga and sannyasa in my later life. Nothing much. It's like everybody's story. Like, you become disillusioned with what the world has got to offer. And so I wanted to see the other side of life. Like, what else is there now? Now what? It's a question of always now what, isn't it? Like, when you go through life and you're sort of put off by everything. Okay, let's see what's so great about the other half. It's supposed to offer you something more colorful and things like that. That's it. But, you know, it didn't quite work out very well. 7 years of sannyasa, half at home, half in the ashrams. And I decided to go it alone.
For those who are not aware of yoga and the terms that you're using, can you repeat that yoga term, and can you give us a brief definition of what that is to our yoga for dummies? How about that?
See, it's very simple. Yoga is very simple. It's a natural state. Like, there are a lot of people who don't call it yoga and who are quite aware of their natural state. All over the world, there are people. You know, so what do you say? It's like trying to attain your natural state. I know it sounds very trite and cliched, but that's what. You don't have to bend your body or, you know, breathe and just take it naturally. And of course, there's a lot of pain involved. That is if you're going in for some higher things like knowledge and things like that. It all, you know, sort of coalesces into knowledge at the end. You have to get rid of the body idea, go in for knowledge. Experiences, it's possible a lot of people have experienced. During my days in sannyasa also, I found that, you know, there's another half. The world is not aware of the world of sannyasi. The world of sannyasis have forgotten the world as it is. And they have a lot of experiences and, you know, lights flashing, this thing, that thing and all. But as long as it's not holding any meaning to you, it really does not have any meaning. That's all I can say. You have to get at the inner meaning of any cognition within you. As long as it's not there, it doesn't help. It's just a waste of time. You have to have some knowledge also. That is, if you want to work yourself up into the astral or psychical planes and things like that, there are a lot of levels of consciousness.
Is there like danger zones when we're dealing with yoga? Like, are people prone to mental illnesses or any other kind of diseases?
I would say yes. It's not a danger zone. It's because of a lack of knowledge or ignorance. Because see, we are not aware of the rules of navigating through the mind or the intellect. This is the problem. If the people are aware or they try to attune themselves to how you move within the elemental area, within the intellect, then there is no problem. Because it settles down. It becomes very peaceful. For that, you need a heavy dose of knowledge. And most people, you know, are not willing to move their intellect. See, they choose the easier path. That is the main thing. Otherwise, what happens? You become deluded. And crazy also. Almost you sound crazy.
Like going through delusions and...
Yes.
Are people really going through delusions, do you think? And like, are they really experiencing something that's real that other people can't experience or not experiencing because they haven't opened their mind to that higher consciousness?
It's not just that a higher consciousness comes crashing into you and you become nuts and run around in the world. It's not like that. See, you have some predetermined notions, okay? Or you have certain, what do you say, I don't like the world and things are like this, let me go. What made you go for it? That's the main question. Now, that is your preconceived notion. Okay, so what happens is, as you transcend, you've got to understand transcending the body is like you close your mind, you sit down for meditation, you close your eyes, everything, you're already out of your body consciousness. You've forgotten your body. The rest is how you navigate through the mind and the intellect. And it's a huge area. It's a very huge area of consciousness other than the body consciousness. So what happens? See, our basic human instincts are within the body consciousness. What people call as heaviness and lightness and things like that, it all arises from changes in the body consciousness. It has got nothing to do with the mind. The mind is peaceful and the intellect is even more peaceful. So it's because it's knowledge based. But we sort of, you know, we get all our worldly thoughts and things all mixed up. It's like, say, you know, people see dreams where you see a house, a car, people walking around in jeans or dresses and all. It's impossible. In dream, you cannot see, you cannot have people with hair and, I know it sounds funny, but you cannot have in a pure dream state, you cannot have people walking around with gold and jewelry and pants and cars moving around, ships moving around. You cannot have it. You just cannot have it. It doesn't occur in the dream state. It happens on the physical level. That's what I'm trying to say. So we get it mixed. Anything else?
Yeah, I understand. I
do. Sophie, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah. So, basically, okay. This is what you got to understand.
Go ahead.
So, we tend to look at the mind in worldly terms. That's what the meaning is. You know, you sort of, what do you say, you see a car moving, people walking, or you meet your friends. You meet your friends in the sense that it's impossible in dream that it should happen. It cannot happen like that in dream. It cannot happen. Your friends are sleeping somewhere else physically.
And how about in
your
experience, Harry? Yeah, can you give our listeners, you know, maybe some idea of the experience that you have gone through in your yoga history, because you started pretty young, up into your elderly age. Can you give our viewers just an idea, you know, just your experience and, you know, what you went through?
Okay, I will tell you. I went through a particularly bad period and a long period because I lacked the, what do you say, probably the intelligence or the knowledge that was required. And to put it very clearly, you know, I had a lot of experience in the sense, like, you know, both outside and inside vanished. You just can't distinguish between the real world and thoughts and things like that. It went on for quite some while. So, you know, you end up as a mixed up individual. You are unfit for either the world or for sannyasa. And, you know, I was not aware, there was no proper instruction given to me. You have to hold on to yourself, believe in yourself. And I started reading and trying to assimilate and trying to understand what was it that exactly happened to me. Because, see, you are an obviously sane individual and something goes tremendously wrong. And you know you have not been doing anything wrong. So you have to root it in knowledge. You have to read it. It's no point asking another person, because that experience, whatever happened, however painful and hurtful it was, and however people saw you, it is still something that you initiated, and you have to look at yourself and get to the knowledge of it. You can ask other people, but see, nobody has the same experience. People have various experiences. There are, you do meet yogis and God-realized people in India. It's quite commonplace if you ask me. And they can't even point you. I would rather say they can just essay an answer, but it would leave you highly dissatisfied. That is the thing. Because the thing is, something has happened to you which you never wanted to happen. Mm-hmm. Something totally otherworldly, or you are just nuts. I'd rather say that nuts to others, and you are totally alone. You're totally alone, without a friend, nobody. You're just alone, and you don't know why, what has happened.
Can that I ask you is that yourself. A monkey in the background?
See,
what kind of animal noises am I
hearing?
People have to understand, you're in India right now. It's the morning time in India, and I'm not used to these morning sounds. I'm usually hearing birds here in the morning.
Yeah, we have these morning sounds.
What kind of animal is that?
We have a lot of greenery out here, coconut palms and things like that. It's been raining, and you know, early morning you have these dogs, cats, birds and all this moving around.
Uh-huh.
And my house is quite near the road. So you might hear a honking from time to time. The buses passing by, your cars. People are just waking up. So that's down the background.
It sounded like monkeys. I don't know. But that's interesting. I would love to have
there
that
are
experience.
Monkeys. There are no monkeys.
No monkeys? Okay.
No monkeys here.
All right, Harry, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take you off track there. You wrote a book, and it's called Eventide.
Yeah.
And what made you write the book?
See, I read somewhere that you have to curb the urge to communicate. So I was just thinking about my previous experiences in sannyasa. You know, you have a lot of people running around, they see a light, they feel they've become infinite or something, and they spoil the other people's life. They just damage everyone else by running around, starting, institutions and gathering up followers and, you know, just the time killing. While they have a good life on
mm-hmm.
other people's hard-earned money. Now, see, it's pretty sad that such things are happening. People are reasonably intelligent. Now, the thing is, I started writing because I found out that See, if you're talking to somebody, you get knowledge. Many of my listeners probably would have gone through that. Like when you are in this particular path of self-inquiry, like as you speak, you get knowledge. Now that is a particular phase. There is a resonance and you get the knowledge. It flashes in from within. And the same thing happens when you write. Like your artistic talents come out, people write poetry. And these are, I wouldn't say they are yogic. It's part of the cleansing part. It's not that you have to start incorporate a company and gather people and try your tricks on other people. So this was a private book which I wrote as I felt the urge to communicate. Okay. Now, even I am surprised that I was able to write like that. Now it's no more a surprise because, see, it levels off after some time. Many of the topics in that, as I was writing, you find the knowledge grounding itself in you. And, that craziness slowly vanishes. Your thoughts are put in order. And after each writing, it's like, it's a deep breath of good air. You're coming out more clean and more steady. It helped me a lot. That's one of the reasons.
Now, when you were writing that book, were you in a state of, what were your senses? Let's talk about senses, our sensual senses and how they have an effect on us, the awareness of our senses. What were you aware of? Were you angry? Were you emotionally upset? What were you feeling when you were writing?
No, when I was writing, it was okay. Because, see, it takes a lot of will. You can take a pen or you sit on your computer, you have to work away, keep tapping at the keys. But it came out very smoothly. And when I'm reading, I'm surprised and I'm getting, it's as if you're reading a book written by somebody else. But, it's not a trance. You are aware. You're writing it out of a sense of anger. Sometimes it's like you're, I'll tell you, I have 5 disciples. That's how I used to see it.
And who are your 5 disciples?
They're my senses.
Now, clever.
They really messed me up. Now, it's a very old Indian, very, 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 very esoteric trick where, it's a dangerous one. I wouldn't suggest it to everyone. You deify your senses. Like here we are used to deifying, it's a very old type of thing. I found that my senses were not behaving properly. I was not quite in my senses and things like that. So I deified. See, there is a period of madness, to be very honest. It's as if you just sit in the room and you're talking to your senses. You're trying to coax them, cajole them. You see, you just don't have the knowledge. But I knew roughly that, there is a Shanti mantra and all to the senses and things like that. So I just tried it. Strangely enough, you start hearing voices, noises. It's like then they're displaying, they're playing around with you. As if they are showing, and then you suddenly, because see, we are very body centric. You cannot imagine your senses as more pervading than yourself. Understood? You are used to holding the reins and controlling the senses, or you think you have a sense of control. They are just showing, okay, we are not this. We are like this, like this, like this, like this. You hear sounds in other countries, other people's houses and things. They don't actually show you who or what. You hear people fighting somewhere and suddenly the knowledge flashes. It means they're just showing their, it's like a big game for them. So once you're comfortable with that, it's like, see, people see apparitions. Some are frightened, some are curious, some wonder. They get close to spirits. I think it happens a lot in America and all. In India, it doesn't happen that much. But, about haunted houses or somebody coming, grabbing your feet, poltergeism and things like that. Those are things like your senses are doing it. They're just communicating and, they can make any kind of noise and all. Even though you will not see anything. Things falling and drums banging and all kinds of things. It's like a wake-up call to be more attuned to them.
I have a question from Mike in California.
Yeah.
Mike in California wants to know if you believe in incarnation. Do you believe in incarnation?
See, that's a really tough one. See, incarnation, it's a very basic belief in most of the Eastern religions of in spirituality. I believe it was there in Christianity also till the church took it away. See, you can see it in two, three different ways. If it's purely as an intellectual exercise, you can take it as an understanding that that just as we spoke about the senses, that they are all pervading, more pervading than the body, that this one life is not just there is a previous life, there will be another life and things like that. That's as an intellectual exercise, and maybe the knowledge will flash. If you go through the astral and the psychical planes, you may see and you will be shown in a different manner by your senses. But see, their memory is the mind actually outlives the man. So, man in the sense like the body. Now, it looks very strange when you say that we are a person with an individuality and a body now. We have never been before in this same individuality. I'm talking about the physical sense. And in the physical sense, we'll never be. So something in the middle cannot be true. But then what are we? That's the question. So you can take it. Yes, I do believe in incarnation, and it helps. One just doesn't pop up from somewhere. There has to be a beginning and an end, no? Mm-hmm. Or an unending thing. It helps you to get over the body idea and be more rooted, and that time, you know, you can get flashes. For a straight answer, yes, I do believe in incarnation.
You do believe in it, okay.
I do believe.
You know, I want to know, going back to the senses and stuff, do you think that, you know, speech language distorts our senses?
No. See, our senses are more elemental, but they're highly, it's like, it's of a more highly intelligent nature. But it is part of us, no? So we don't realize that intelligent part of us. That's what they tried. See, now I can give you an idea of the practice that I did. I wouldn't suggest it to everyone. Like, see, your nose, your ears, you have your five senses. Okay. Now, in very ancient this thing, in the Vedas, you deify each as a god. Okay, not even as a demigod. They're known as devas. Okay. Mm-hmm. Probably the Red Indians had something similar where, you know, you are actually, what you're doing is, the concept is, it's one of the highest concepts where you are deifying the five elements as each deva. Understood? Like earth, water, fire. You can call it earth spirit or water spirit, fire spirit or whatever. We call it devas. And the idea of a deva gives you that they are all pervading and things like that. So slowly what happens, there is a distending of the mind. The mind thins out and your senses spread. So it's like a release to them. It's like, you know, it's like a release. So far you've been holding it within you.
And, kind of like a valve, you mean?
It's like a tremendous discharge for them. It's like they go crazy. So that's what creates the tizzy within you. Okay, because you still think the senses are within you, but whereas your mind is thinned out, you have not pinned it out to the practices that you carried out. Or sometimes it, you know, exceeds. It becomes hyper-physical. That is what happens.
Mm. Before we go to break, Harry, I want to get one more question in from Christopher in Texas. Christopher is asking, does Harry have a special diet to help himself spiritually evolve?
No, not at all. See, I don't subscribe to anything like that because, see, people live in different lands. And, see, you're all, everyone is a self, no?
Mm-hmm.
See, now, in each country, what is the food that you get? You don't have to take an effort to kill yourself by, you know, I'll only be a vegetarian, I'll only be a non-vegetarian, I'll eat only proteins. Maybe people are getting good things out of it or they feel good. Mine can do a lot of things. Now the thing is, I don't subscribe to any diet like that. But drinking, yes, it clouds your brain. I do smoke. I take non-vegetarian food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
But you don't eat meat, right?
That is because, yeah, I have a handicap. I'm slightly handicapped due to an mm-hmm. accident. And it makes my movement difficult. That is red meat. Red meat. Because, yeah, it's sort of sedentary. I cannot take physical exercises. So the problem is I don't want to, you know, knowingly disturb myself. But I do have fish, chicken, good pork. I don't eat pork in India.
What do you think about those who are trying to spiritually evolve that are drinking alcohol and stuff? What about that?
No. See, the problem with alcohol is it directly goes into your brain, bloodstream and things like that. Forget the bloodstream. It attacks your brain. And the brain plays a very large part in this. The gods have no brains. See, we have. Now the thing is, it disturbs. You cannot, you wouldn't be able to meditate. I don't think so. I've tried it. You cannot. Maybe you can have wine or beer once in a while. Good company. You can have. It doesn't hurt.
What about marijuana?
Marijuana?
Mm-hmm. Does it have an effect on spiritual involvement, or do you think that that helps spiritual involvement?
No. There's no nirvana. There's no nirvana. There's no moksha. Nothing. You come to know yourself. That's it.
Okay. Well, let's take this into break, and when we come back, I'm going to pick Harry's brain some more. We'll be back just after this moment.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Valzer, and this is the great BBS Radio.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak. Every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
And we are back. This is Sophia Ray and the People Speak Radio Show with Harry Menon. Harry Menon, thank you again for being here with me tonight and your morning. I appreciate you very much. Harry.
Yeah.
You know, today is Barack Obama's birthday. Did you know that?
No, I was not aware of that.
Yes, today is August 4th, Barack Obama's birthday.
Okay, come. Tell me.
I want to know your opinion. You know Tim Boyd. Tim Boyd, for those who are not familiar with Tim Boyd, is the president of the Theosophical Society.
Yes.
Tim Boyd is actually going through a lawsuit right now. I'm not sure if you are aware of that yourself, Harry, but Tim Boyd and Barack Obama look very, very similar. Are you willingly to give your opinion whether you think they're related as brothers or not?
And have a lawsuit on me? See, I don't know if Obama's father is alive. Then things could have been set straight, no?
Well, you know,
they do look alike.
They do look alike. And, you know, yeah, Tim Boyd on the show, he said that, you know, they're not related, but that's very hard for me to believe.
Yeah, but scientists would be able to give a better thing about it. Because, see, 7 billion people, they have some statistics like out of so many billions, two people will always look the same wherever they are and things like that. I would hate to meet myself on the road. That's one thing.
For listeners who want to call in and ask Harry questions, you may do so at 1-888-429-5471. And speaking of callers, we do have a caller on the line. Caller, state your name and where you're from, please.
Hi, this is Mike, originally from Hawaii. I could not let the guest go because, as I understand it, he's something of a yogi master. I have to ask him this question, what is the meaning of life?
See, first of all, let me put things in perspective. I'm not a yogi master, I'm not a master at all, but neither am I a disciple or a student. Now, the thing is, the worst thing that you can do is to stymie your progress is look for a purpose in life. It has to be devoid of any preconditions. It's assumed that you want to know, say, it's like the other side of life you want to look at. You can look at it and then try to find if there's a meaning for it. That is one of the things and where the meaning lies. You cannot just, state something like, what is the meaning in life? That has to be searched. What do you mean by life? What is your preconceived notion of life? What do you call life? Is it circumstances? Is it your circumstances? The other circumstances? Is it more worldly? Like, you want to raise the world and, help humanity and things. If those are the, underlying assumptions or we don't know what basically motivates us as life and things like that. These are things that you have to look into yourself. You cannot look for a purpose in life at the very, very inception. Because, see, we live in a conditioned society where even language has killed everything once and for all. It's really bad. Because we have built a world around language. And we cannot break through language and sound. It's very difficult. But it can be done. You should never look for a meaning and purpose in life. You can assume
there's not the best.
Yeah, tell me.
I guess you're definitely not religious because religion tries to give a grand meaning to life, right?
Oh,
I mean, whether it's Christianity, Islam, or Judaism, or just about any other religion, they seem to want to give a singular purpose to life.
No, sir, no religion. There is no religion. You cannot bring religion into it. Religion has done the maximum conditioning of humanity. It's the worst that can happen to a man.
Ooh.
It's the worst.
So you hate religion?
I don't hate religion. I look down upon it.
Mm-hmm. But it has caused a lot of hatred, wars, murders. I mean, if you think about it, they've taken the spirit of God away, and what have they done? They created more fear.
Religion,
I'm not bashing religion, by the way.
Sophia, religion, how has it evolved? It's come out of the need to control people when they were, you know, in ancient times, people were scared of the elements and things like that. And they used to pray to nature, and that's nature worship. It evolved later into tribes, you know, wanting to cover themselves up against other tribes. And, you know, so before we had democracy or, you know, societal laws and all, religion was the one thing. Through fear and inducements and things like that. So there's a lot of rubbish inside it. It's not worth going into all that. It's still continuing. Religion makes a man quite primitive. It is not good for people of good intellects. Like we are at the stage where we have good intellects and intelligence, science has progressed. Everything is there. You can think for yourself. You're born in an age because you're an heir to that kind of intelligence. It's not that you're a caveman, you're born today. No, you are heir to philosophy, the medical sciences, every kind of sciences. You can assimilate that knowledge because you're born in this age. There is a time and place where you have been born, and you have every right to that knowledge.
That's interesting. It's very different. I don't think a lot of people were ready for that response, but I think it's very truthful.
No, it's a fact. It's what I have learned through, you know, ignorance. I too had religion.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to extreme here with you, Harry. This is something I haven't really talked too much about in... I don't think I've ever even talked to you about this. But there is a lot that it's not a whole lot, but there has been talk of a world inside the middle of Earth called Agartha. And this is, something that's, you know, it's not very, accepted in, you know, our life, I guess, in our mainstream lives, but, what do you think about that concept of this world that is inside the Middle Earth, and there's a center sun that is in a paradise?
See, Sophie, I would never discount such ideas, because all throughout mankind has been trying to, you know, get at the meaning of life, as our previous caller had asked. Now, the thing is, so there are people who have attained to a self-realization, and, you know, there are, what do you say, certain barriers due to language, evolution of language at that time, so it was more colorful. So these are probably, like, you know, in the Upanishads we have Vidyas, where very colorfully they put down certain modes and methods of attaining the self. It's a bit more this thing. I wouldn't say it's more refined or things like that. It's sublime. Maybe this is a sublime idea, which is, you know, because of our way of thinking, it is sort of, you know, we are interpreting it in a more degraded manner or things like that. Like, you know, if people going for mysticism, magic and things like that, they should have an inclination for that, not just going for the fun of it. And, you know, ancient civilizations have had their ways of getting at the truth, and there have been people throughout. Maybe it's been, we don't know who the progenitor of this particular theory was, but it's probably a very refined idea. We should not look at it with total skepticism. But that is, if you go to the, you know, I wouldn't say it's a darker side or anything. Ancient religions still exist. It's very easy to gain access into ancient religions because, but it, there, at the higher levels, you will need a tremendous twist of intellectuality, because the adaptation and the understanding for us is of this age. You should be really well versed in those, you know, arcane methods and things like that, and what it holds out for. And that's what I'm trying to say. So I would never discount a person believing in that. And but the probability is that that man would probably be looked upon as an idiot by the different, you know, by the ordinary folks, and think he's crazy and things like that. It's only a matter of setting right that person's perspective and putting it into the path of knowledge. Slight history is involved in everything. It's not just that everything, even spirituality, has to evolve. It's in the manifest. It's from man himself. It's not from anywhere outside us or, you know. So these kind of ideas cannot be discounted. I would never discount it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wonder what the sleeping prophet would say about the hollow earth. You do know about the sleeping prophet, right?
Yeah, because why I did say that he is a sleeping prophet is...
why is he sleeping?
No.
I mean, tell me, you know, let's talk about that a little bit. What's happening when he's not having control?
See, it's not a question of control or anything. See, the thing is the concept. It's the concept. Forget the history. And if you even take, to come back into it in a very proper manner, if you ask me, Islam is one of the youngest religions. It's an offshoot from Christianity, isn't it? Now, the thing is, they've had their history of various tribes and things like that. And now, they've missed the point by a mile. A prophet is a prophet, was born and died. That's the thing. The ultimate is not spoken by any prophet or anyone. It's what comes from. It's your individual experience. You are the authority and it comes from within. It overrides every authority. Barring that, the caveat of urge to communicate without knowing fully. You have to know properly. If you know yourself through and through, that's it. That's enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, sleeping prophet is, you don't have to even have a picture of a prophet or anybody. The rest are, it's only symbols and ideas helping man to climb further. And it's sad at this age of intelligence that these people are so, if you ask me, it's not at all subtle. No subtlety in the thinking. Maybe there are people who are subtle. I'm yet to meet somebody.
Mm-hmm. I'm quite curious, you know, that here's another thing I've never talked to you about throughout the years is, oh God, here I go. UFOs, extraterrestrials. What's your opinion on UFOs and extraterrestrials?
Pardon? I didn't quite get that.
Your opinion, Harry. I want your opinion on the whole UFO, extraterrestrials. Is this a hoax or is this something that you think is real?
See, let me be very clear. See, a man who sees extraterrestrials or who has... I wouldn't discount anything. You cannot call that person crazy or things like that. Under certain circumstances, conditions, what are yogic activities? Like you are in a crowd and you can just cut yourself from everybody's sight and be invisible, whereas you are physically there. The idea is that is the power of the, I. It's knowledge. Now, what does a yogi do? You have five senses. These five senses are the same for everyone. We have made it through our individuality and our ego identity. We have made it into millions of the same thing. It's like seeing the sun reflected. See, you have a pond and there's a sun there. There's only one sun. You put in a lot of pots, fill it with water, hundreds of pots. The same sun is there, but you see hundreds of splintered suns inside. It's the same way. Our ego does the work of holding it together. I mean the limited ego. Actually, the ego itself is not limited. There is only one ego. There is only one nose or one sense of smell, etc., etc., etc. So, what a yogi does is through knowledge, suppose there are 10 people in the room, he can cut himself out from their sight. If you can understand what I'm saying. Even though he's sitting right in front of you, it's like now you see, now you don't. Nobody will see him. But he's physically there. He has not vanished anywhere. He can control his sight because he has attained to that subtlety. A thing which is subtler can penetrate what is not that subtle. That is why I'm saying. See, it is possible a man suddenly under certain conditions, he becomes so subtle. It's like previously people say, like drinking soma or getting consciousness or kundalini rising. Maybe in the Western world, you know, a man suddenly, we don't know, he's called to duty or he gets a wake-up call. His kundalini, I wouldn't say kundalini. His consciousness rises where, you know, he becomes so subtle and he sees things. He sees things, he might see anything. He might see aliens, he might see... Because see, I wouldn't discount anything. These things can happen. It can happen to a group. It can happen to a single person. The problem is the urge to communicate. This is what I insist again and again. One should examine inside and check what it is. The moment you start running around saying some things, you are immediately branded a liar. And whereas the man keeps saying, it happened to me, I know it, it happened to me. Understood. So then... Where else are you going to go for help? You go to the shrink. He's going to feed you medicines and talk a lot of crap. And still you are beyond every advice and things. Your senses, you believe your senses. No. Even today, what is the greatest experience that you can have? What your senses give? That's the most direct experience. So this man becomes, you know, really broken in life. It spoils your life. No? So they should root it in knowledge. Don't tell anybody, but not suppress it. Try to understand what it is. And, you know, because see, you live in a modern society where you have so many ideas floating around. It is possible your senses are communicating that way. They can do it. They can put you to sleep. They can take your astral body away. They can do a lot of things.
For those who are just now tuning in, this is your hostess, Sophia Ray, on The People Speak, and we are talking with Harry Menon, who is a philosopher, a yogi practitioner. Harry, is there, you know, before our night runs out and we are out of time, is there anything that you would like to... say to our listeners, anything, you know, pouring out from your heart to our listeners, anything that you think is important for people to hear?
See, there's nothing that really, you know, gladdens my heart when I know a person is on, I wouldn't say spiritual path, but on such, you know, journeys into the self, like knowingly or unknowingly. The thing is, they should always, you know, exercise restraint and curb the urge to communicate, either in writing or in speaking. Fix it up to themselves, have a philosophy emerge from within themselves, then they can be sure of the knowledge coming. Then you can, of course, discuss it to like-minded individuals. If you speak to the ordinary person who does not deserve it, it's not going to help. People will just, you know, take you and pillory you. That's one of the main things. I believe a lot of people have had experiences. I wouldn't say that it's very uncommon. It's very common for people, whether they do Tai Chi or yoga or anything, whether they follow Buddhism. The first thing that happens, what I learned is, when you turn into this, you immediately have experiences, a lot of experiences. Try to get the knowledge behind it. Don't think too much about it. Then when the knowledge flashes, that same experience will come to your memory. That
time knowledge is so limited. Why? Why is knowledge so limited, though? Is it limited because people don't have... they lack the energy to think for themselves?
No. It's, knowledge is never limited. Knowledge is not at all limited. See, because... we sort of think in terms of the physical world. See, even when you have a vision, see, you have a vision inside, you see the Buddha or Krishna or Jesus. Now, what happened? What is it that is being told? What is the integrity of the intelligence behind that? It's a memory. You have to understand everything that you see inside in the elemental arena, as soon as you transcend the body, is a memory. this is what you have to understand. Now, okay, one lady, I think, I don't know, from California, she had asked about reincarnation. Okay, why do people think only in terms of worldly terms? Maybe because of an Indian. I've thought of the terms when I have held as a, that is the way reincarnation means. See, what does it say? You have been a god before, like a demigod, and your karmas got over and you fell down. You became a man. Now, these things, like, I would suggest that for people like all this, they should be able to understand there is a possibility. I wouldn't say a fallen god, but see, these are different capabilities of the intellect which were attained previously and we've forgotten. That is what I'm trying to say. See, it gets deeper as you go, you know. So maybe I'll be called a nut or things like that. But people only think in worldly terms. They'll think, okay, a tree, a horse, a cow, a house, or whatever I was. But no, if you really want to know, they say the Buddha saw all his lives and all, including tree and horse. Who wants to know? See, you're a human being. Now, you will at the most know your human, past human lives, maybe 4 or 5, maybe 8 or 9. That is if you can remember. Or when the memory comes through. That is all. It's a human will only know a human life. And another thing is, there's no point in saying I will sit down and meditate and go into the astral and get to somebody's memory and things. See, you are this individual in this life now. Mm-hmm. This individual has never been there before. So if you go and sit with this ego, on whom are you going to meditate? What was your identity previously? How are you going to gain to the cosmic consciousness or memory? Not in this body. You have to understand through knowledge the nature of knowledge and the ego and consciousness. Then you don't have to be self-realized to, you know, go through the astral and the psychic planes.
Curious, Harry. I don't want to cut you off, but what would you... Jiddu Krishnamurti says that knowledge and experience is limited. What would you say to him if he was telling you that?
See, what I have understood from that is, knowledge and experience is limited. He means secondary knowledge, which is the knowledge of the world and objects that we have. That is limited. It is finite. Mm. See, we all talk about knowledge as secondary knowledge, because that's the way, when we talk about knowledge, we use the word, we don't use the word, secondary knowledge. We say knowledge because knowledge is understood by people as, objects and the knowledge of the world, or whatever they have through language. All these bind your knowledge. It is limited, whereas knowledge can never be limited. This is the thing. It's secondary knowledge. It's a reflection. Primary knowledge is infinite. It's infinite. So you have to distinguish between the two, knowledge of objects and, true primary knowledge. Primary knowledge is what we are all trying to gain to, whereas we have that within us. You don't need somebody to point out, okay, when does a person really need somebody to point out is when he turns into a crackpot. Means in worldly terms.
Is life to help just him. Experience and knowledge? Is that all what life really is? It's just experiencing and sponging up as much knowledge as we can?
I really hesitate when you come to words like life and all. I'd be just misleading everyone. People have an outlook on life. So many people. So you cannot use life like that. It's a very, subjective term. Again, subjective in the secondary sense. Because each one has their own idea of life. It's not something which will render itself for a clear concept. It stays at that level. So you cannot generalize on life. This is the thing. See, from the general to the particular, from the particular to the general, you should learn how to, control your thoughts. Now, life for 7 billion people, it's 7 billion ideas which comes from their own intuitive experiences at whatever age they are in. Now, it will not lend to a higher transcending of that word idea. The word idea will not go higher, and you cannot say generally life, which means you're immediately turning into an activist or something to if somebody starts saying life is protect the trees, then what? Or it excludes a lot of humanity. That's stupid. That we should not use like that. We cannot say any answer on such things.
Is there any last message, Perry, that you would like to send out to people? Just a last impression that you want to make before we end our show tonight?
All I'm saying is, if you feel you've gotten to a good thing and something, you know, adverse happens, just hang on to your own self, not any religion or anything, your own self, believing that you went in for something good, and then everything will clear up, nothing bad will happen. This is actually from the Bhagavad Gita, but it's a common sense thing. Because nobody is supposed to have a bad experience when they go in for something good.
So you think self-awareness is most important?
Yeah, self-awareness will grow on you. It will grow on you. People are intelligent. It's the path which creates the obstacles and uncaring people. Because people don't have that kind of intelligence. See, a man has some experience, he becomes nuts. They cannot understand what is it that he is really undergoing. That is the thing.
Harry?
Yeah.
This is when I say it's the end of our show.
Okay, thank you.
And I had a lot of fun with you tonight in your morning. Thank you, Harry. I really appreciate you coming on and speaking with me.
Yeah.
I appreciate you so much. I can't even show you how much I appreciate you.
And I really thank all my listeners who had the patience to, it's not a run-of-the-mill talk we had. I went through a lot of things which we shouldn't have spoken. A lot of people avoid.
Yeah.
Anyway, what to do?
I want to thank our listeners also, and I want to give a big thanks out to our producer, Mike, and a big thanks out to Doug Newsom, our engineer. Let us unite through love and light. Everybody be good to one another, and good night. Oh, okay. And also, please join us next Tuesday with, I believe it is, Sister Megan Rice, nuclear peace activist. Everybody have a good night. Thank you.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the sea wall, by the relief office, I saw my people. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.